Red Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 60th Cork Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Chris O'Neill, who is one of the festival programmers. He also presented one of his short films called Discordance. So thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
And I should say that we're currently at the Driscoll Christchurch, and you're the cinema programmer here at Driscoll. So as a first question, before we actually talk about your film, the festival is over now. So what's your kind of overview of what kind of happened at the festival, and was it successful this time around?
It was successful. I mean, I don't know any figures or anything, but just going on audience attendance of any screenings I was at or whatever, it seemed very positive, just a lot of people around. So I think in terms of attendance, I think it was successful. But just more talking about the program and the response to the program, that I think was also very successful because there was such a broad mix of films. So yeah, sure, you had the kind of big films, if you like, in the Opera House, whether it was Frozen sing-along or the Rory Gallagher documentary that was playing. I mean, anything with Rory, if you put anything on that's got anything to do with Rory Gallagher, you're guaranteed a full house. So sure, those films brought in big audiences. But then there were so many events. There was like the Illuminate events, and I had a couple of strands myself in the festival. I had every year I do a retrospective, so this year I did Orson Welles because it was the centenary, and we had Simon Callow over to introduce FFA, which was wonderful. It was my first year doing my Hello Americans independent American movie strand, which I've often done the American movies. It was the first time I was actually able this year to actually have a strand, which was specifically, this is designated for these kind of films. And that was really, some really good buzz about those films. And, the Driscoll late shows, I also program, which are kind of the late night, offbeat, unusual movies, launched with Larry Clark's The Smell of Us, ended with a bizarre French production shot in New York. And I think those two films were really strong opening and closing for that strand. And I think just overall, because, in the last couple of years, there has been a change in the way the film festival was run in terms of different personnel. And I think the last 2 years have been good, but each year you can see a progression of the changing of the way it was run, and the new people finding their feet. And I think this year, after of its third year, was really where you felt that it was coming together, and everyone was coming into their own. Because this is my third year programming for the festival. I've always been involved in one capacity or other, whether it was front of house or ushering or venue manager, whatever it is. Projection, I think. Yeah, I even did projection and print transport 1 year. I've done everything. Everyone just really felt like I think everyone came into their own. Programmers, and I think the audience enjoyed it, which is most important. I mean, even when you put something on that's difficult or tricky or is flawed but interesting, people appreciate seeing something that is different, that makes you think. So, it's great to have the Rory Gallagher movie, it's great to have things like Frozen, but then you just have, the tagline is films, music, ideas, and that's what it's about, ideas. It's about exploring issues beyond cinema through cinema. So,
and actually, in a more general sense, do you find that it's very challenging to promote a different type of cinema in Cork?
It can be. Cork Film Festival, I guess it's 60th year. Everyone knows about it in Ireland. Everyone knows about it in Cork. So there's always some sort of audience who come to see the Cork Film Festival. And I think, generally speaking, it does well. And people appreciate, the programming. But for me, running like Cork's only art house screen, it's not even it's one screen cinema, we're the only venue currently outside of Dublin that would be that we're a designated cultural art house, movie house. And it really depends on, it's really strange. Sometimes it can be as simple as, does the film get a good review? Is there a star in it? Or you know, has anybody even heard of it? Or, you know, is something else happening in Cork that weekend? You know, because it does depend on, you know, I mean, if you have bad weather one night, people aren't going to come out. And if it's a Monday night, whatever. So it can go up and down, but, you know, there is an audience here. I mean, one of our biggest films this year was the Kurt Cobain documentary. Of course, Nirvana played in Cork, you know, back in the early 90s in Sir Henry's, which is only down the road from where we are now. So no surprises that was going to do well. Exactly. Like everyone and anyone came to see that, who, even if they weren't like cultural cinema, they just loved music and whatever. But, you know, we've done some great movies over the years. The Imposter, the documentary, last time I checked, is still our second biggest movie of all time. I mean, our biggest would have been The Artist, because we had to play it a little bit later than the mainstream cinemas, but by then they'd stopped showing it, and then we started showing it just as the Oscar buzz started. So we ran it several times, if I remember correctly. It came back a few times to show it. And, you know, so sometimes we even play mainstream films that are in the mainstream multiplexes, but audiences don't see them there and they wait to see it with us, which is great. So there is an audience here, yeah.
Let's talk about your film, because you, of course, had a short film here at the festival, and a very interesting one. But for the benefit of our listeners, I was just wondering whether you might be able to introduce the story of your film.
I can try. Well, Discordance is a short film. It's just shot a couple of seconds shy of 10 minutes. And I really like the idea of making a short film that... The short film format tends to be people style a short film where the film begins and ends, and that's the character's story is within that time frame. So you probably rarely know anything about them beforehand. You don't necessarily know if they're going to have anything happen after the film ends. I mean, this is obviously a sweeping generalization, but generally speaking, it's a good thing, and it's a logical reason that short films, because it's a short film, short amount of time. It's about the action of what's unfolding in the film for the duration, and you don't really get much of a backstory necessarily. Whereas my short film was all about backstory in one way, and it's about three friends, and there's four different kind of timelines that keep intercutting. So the first one, and it'd be like the crux of the whole film, is three friends haven't seen each other in years, went to college together, catching up, and each time the film goes back to them, it's, do you remember that time when? And then, do you remember this time? And, oh, remember when that happened? It's nostalgia, basically. But then, intercut between that, you see the three characters in their own individual moments, outside of them catching up in their own lives. And you kind of see that, you know, they have issues in their lives, or there's things that aren't quite... that aren't quite so rosy, and yet when they get together, it's all just, oh, do you remember when we did this? And it's just like their friendship stopped when they stopped being in college together or university, and every time they see each other, they just reflect on old times but never really talk about what's really happening in their lives now. So, you know, it was quite ambitious, I guess, to try to cover that much ground. But the other two things to note is the dialogue is heavily improvised, or else workshopped and scripted. It was a mixture of both. Some sequences were scripted based on hours of workshops with the actors, where they create the backgrounds to the characters, created the backstory of how they knew each other. It was fascinating, just in a session, me stepping back and seeing them and hearing them develop. Well, you met, and it was like one character was like, okay, We were in a house share, and you were dating a girl who moved out, but we liked you, so you moved in, and it was just, but nothing to do with what's actually in the film. It's just they were actually really seriously trying to create this background, and so that was great. And also, it was shot on old Hi8 video, a 1990s video format, which is obsolete now, so it has this very kind of strange texture. But the reason I wanted to go for that kind of old video texture was because of the nostalgia factor. They're reflecting back to, you know, about 15 years ago, and that's when, you know, I would have been using Hi8, so yeah. That's why I wanted to shoot it on that format. So I didn't want it just to look an interesting way because it was interesting. I actually wanted there to be a logical, well, because they're reflecting on the past and it's about nostalgia, then I wanted it to have a certain kind of look.
And I guess another question I wanted to ask you is also, where did the inspiration come from?
I'm currently still in post-production on the film I made straight afterwards, which is called Receptive, Totally Receptive. And that one's been going on for years, and the script took a while to come together, and a friend of mine, Steve Harradine, wrote a wonderful script based on kind of my outline and things, but he did really, it was a really good script, and we've shot that, and we're going to be doing pickups and things. So the reason I'm going into that detail was I was thinking I would love to make a little movie before the big movie where I basically get everyone together who are going to be working on the bigger movie, but let's just see how they get on. So Tory Lines we had over from Wales. Everybody else was from Cork or from Dublin. Fiona McGarry, Frank Prendergast, who'd be the three principal leads. All of them are in Receptive, Totally Receptive as well. Same camera crew, most of the same production crew. Nearly everyone who was on this Discordance film, the one that was at the festival, has later worked on the other one. So what was nice was I kind of did it as a, well, let's not just do tests and an audition video, let's make a little movie and we'll get to know each other. And it was done quite fast, but it has a really nice vibrancy to it that had it been planned and in an ingestation stage for so long, would it have been as fresh? Would it have been as interesting? You know? So it's kind of strange to think that I've since then shot a film that was in the pipeline for years, yet this one was in a matter of, you know, I suppose maybe 6 weeks or something, that from, you know, putting it together to arranging the shoot, getting the equipment and stuff, getting everyone together to shoot it. And it has that nice urgency to it, I think. And it was kind of, once it was over, you kind of look back on it going, wow, we did that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than everything being perfectly meticulously planned.
And it's good that you also introduced Receptive, Totally Receptive, and you're currently in post-production with that film.
Yes. So in January, I hope to be doing some pickup shots. And because even when we shot the original film, I always thought we're going to need a few inserts, bits and pieces here and there. But also, I wanted to cut the film together, and I was thinking, can I add any other elements to it? Could an insert might just simply be a close-up of somebody reading a document. But I was like, but once I watch the film, what exactly is that document? Is there a particular sentence I can highlight in the document that might have no relevance? If it doesn't have any relevance if you don't spot it, but if you do spot it, you might go, oh, yeah, that because that character said that earlier, that has relevance to what's happening now. Like, kind of like Nicholas Rogue would often do that, where there's all these details of somebody's reading a certain kind of book, like in Bad Timing, The Sheltering Sky. Sheltering Sky is the book that Teresa Russell's character is reading. If you haven't read the book, it doesn't matter. But if you had read the book, it's a nice little, you know, you can see. So I like the idea of those little details. And I'm trying to bring loads of these strange little details into Receptive, Totally Receptive. And also there's a great electric pop duo called Nanu Nanu, Mark and Laura, who are married, and they're wonderful. They're really great performers. And we're going to get them to be in the film. So there's nightclub scenes, but we're going to cut them into the nightclub scenes as if they're performing in the club. So we couldn't get them on the day. We shot it over Easter weekend. And the day we shot that, we basically created a club on the only night where it's legally impossible to sell drink in pubs, because it was Good Friday.
Yeah.
And it's the last Good Friday where there was like a complete ban. I think next year they're going to slightly ease on the ban, so there will be certain ways that alcohol will be sort of sold. So on the very last dry Good Friday in Ireland, we bought free booze, or brought free booze for people to kind of just mingle. And sometimes it was just friends in the corner who were extras just having a bit of a chatter, and it was a nice vibe. So those extra bits and pieces we'll be shooting in the new year, and I'm hoping to have like a close to like rough essential cut, if that makes any sense, or essentially the final cut of the film in maybe April.
Well, okay, well, I'll be looking forward to seeing it then, and I'm looking forward to interviewing you about that film next time. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.